Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Use It Fence podcast. I'm your host, Tristan, and my parents are here today.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, today we're going to be talking about the autism spectrum and the differences and similarities between the levels. So before we get started, I'll just say this, that in 2013, they came out with the DSM-5, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which they use to diagnose different disorders. And in that, they announced that they were no longer diagnosing Asperger's or PDD or PDD-NOS. And it would all be under the umbrella of autism. So that's when they came out with autism level 1, level 2, and level 3. Autism level 1 means that they need support. Level 2 means they need substantial support, and level 3 means they need very substantial support. Sounds like I just made that up, but that is from the DSM.
It's so clear and concise, isn't
it? Yeah, clearly, obviously. We're just going to dive right in, speak very candidly on our behalf.
I just want to say as we start out that as parents of an individual with autism who cannot communicate pleasure or displeasure with words or descriptors that are used about his autism. Like he does not, we know that there are people who can communicate how they feel about the words that are used about them, level one, level two, Asperger's, whatever. Mm-hmm. Trent does not have that ability. But I think going into this topic, maybe it would be good just to say we are not offended by those words. That like we believe that there has to be a framework for communication so that we all, like everybody, can know what it is that you're saying or what it is that you're talking about, and we can have some kind of verbal level playing field. And so when we use these words, or as we use these descriptors for autism, it is not, we don't use them to be offensive or anything. We use them because there has to be a way to communicate about this. There has to be a way to talk openly about the struggles and the differences, because they're like, autism is a spectrum disorder. There's a whole bunch of different, qualities to that. And we have to be able to talk about it in a way that makes sense, even if there is the chance that somebody's always going to be offended about whatever you talk about. So, but we personally, like that, we are not offended in part because easily. We're not offended easily. We're not offended by the puzzle piece. We think it actually fits pretty well. Our experience with Trent and trying to understand what it is that he understands about mm-hmm. it. He knows when we use the word autism.
Yeah.
That we're talking about him, I think. But he can't process that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't understand all the ins and outs about it. But anyway, I just thought maybe we should say that from our perspective. We don't get offended about that. We don't get offended about the puzzle piece. There has to be a way to talk about this openly.
Yeah. Especially in our personal case, for someone who, can't speak for themselves and may or may not be interested or care at all about those things. So I guess, obviously we all have personal experience with Trent, who would be level 3. And then we all have varying levels of, I guess, professional or social.
Just experience.
Experience. Right? Yeah. Yeah. With exposure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess you guys can talk about yours.
Well, I'll talk about mine first because I have the least experience. Because it's basically just Trent, which again, he is classified or qualified as level 3.
And sorry to pause you. When he got diagnosed, what was it called?
The developmental pediatric, developmental whatever.
Developmental pediatrician.
Yeah. Anyway, she told us when she first gave us the diagnosis that he would be classified as classic or severe autism. Mm. So now, according to DSM, he is level 3, which what was that?
It requires very substantial support.
Very substantial support. So Trent can't be left alone. He doesn't understand common dangers. He has words, but he does not have functional verbal language. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult to communicate. We were at the eye doctor yesterday, and it was a new eye doctor. I hadn't really seen him before. Mm-hmm. And it is, man, it's hard. because, you know, he looks...
Yeah.
He looks neurotypical. It just sitting there until he stems just or he, there. What, yeah, you know, yeah. Yeah, whatever. Or till he, like we went out to dinner the other night and he had, you know, this is a 26-year-old man carrying these little plastic animals with him, arranging them on the table next
in
to
him. In front of his food.
In front of every, yeah. So that is not typical behavior, but, you know, they wanted to talk to him and interact with him and ask him questions about his eyesight. And so they would ask a question like, hey, Trent, are you having trouble seeing or are you seeing well? He's like, yes. Like, okay, you can't ask him that question. He does not understand. He cannot communicate that. So level 3, but the vast majority of my experience is with Trent. Mm-hmm. So that's where I speak from. And the only limited experience from... You know, I mean, we've been around others through HeartSpring and different things.
Been around.
But then most of it recently, because we're the business and all the stuff we're doing is like most of it has just been through social media. Yeah. So or interactions with people who are, you know, who say I'm level 1, I'm level 2, whatever.
Yeah. Or when we've gone to meet and greets and the and the employees are autistic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Or parents who bring a child that's on the spectrum somewhere. So anyway, so I have the least.
Yeah. Working in the schools. So I'm a school psychologist and part of my job is to do evaluations to determine needs of kids. And we have a lot of students who have diagnoses of autism. And sometimes the doctor who diagnosed them or whoever will tell them, your child needs an IEP. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't need it. We have probably have more students in our school who have diagnosis of autism who don't have an IEP just because if they're level 1, they're in the regular ed classroom and we may not notice that there's a need till a little bit later. And also sometimes they can meet their needs in the classroom. So I can give an educational diagnosis of autism based on some assessments that I can use in observation and interview and things. So I do get to observe them often and just determine if they need extra support at school. And sometimes the parents will say, well, at home they need support, but it doesn't transfer to a school setting. We do typically see them being more successful at school. And I also have been working with students who were in like the functional applied academics classroom at middle school where they would be considered level 3s, most of them. Mm-hmm. And the level 2 kids, they typically have had support since they were really, really young. And I'm not looking at diagnosing or figuring out their support. They've just needed some pretty substantial support through school all the way through. So I've had exposure to all the levels. I have not, for a very long time anyway, been a teacher to those students where I see them often or work with them on a regular basis. It's just determining needs and things. So I have exposure to them, but not on a consistent basement. Yeah.
And most of that for you is school setting, right?
Right.
You're not
a school setting.
You're interested in some things that are going on at home, but most of it, like if the student can function in school,
right?
Like you're for the school's responsibility. That's
That's it. Because you are a school psychologist,
right? Yeah.
Right.
But Tristan probably even then focuses not necessarily on school, but on home stuff more.
vocational type things
yeah.
too.
Yeah, yeah, vocational and I would say social the most, just because, yeah, at HeartSpring we work with I'm trying to remember how I'm supposed to say this. I work with individuals with special needs, including autism. A lot of them do. I've been helping out more in the school. We have, it's pretty cool. We have a out to eat lunch group on Mondays that I facilitate, which has been really fun. I haven't worked with the school kids in the past. So this has been different, but fun. And those kids, a lot of our school students live at HeartSpring, majority of them. And they, so they would be level three or two. I said that weird, but yeah. And we help them order at a restaurant. A lot of them have the ability to have verbal, but it's either repeating or they know that, like, they, if they want a cheeseburger, they can say cheeseburger, or if they, you know, cheeseburger and fries. And so, yeah, that. And then with my, like, social groups and stuff, we have quite a few different abilities and levels in that. Yeah, and I've gotten to help kids, you know, within school. I've gone to some IEPs for those kids. I have helped, yeah, mostly with their social interactions and helping them navigate those things. And then vocational a lot. So I work with, I would say, all of the levels. And, yeah, it's interesting to see the differences and the similarities in them.
Everybody knows Trent is a fantastic artist, but did you know that he has a store full of all kinds of cool stuff featuring his art? Things like short sleeve t-shirts,
long sleeve t-shirts, sweatshirts,
and hoodies, along with coloring books and Trent's illustrated book, Drawn to Be You. Insulated tumblers, three different styles.
Insulated wine tumblers, two different colors.
And a camper mug in three different colors.
With the moose kissing a goose.
During the year, we have special gift boxes. We've got surprise box for birthday or special occasion. And several limited edition coloring books every year.
Drawings by Trent is a business that is providing for Trent's future. The business is also helping Trent's art and message reach people all over the world. So check it out at drawingsbytrent.com. That's drawingsbytrent.com.
Okay, so what are some of the differences or similarities that you have noticed within the levels? Before you answer that, there's a lot, and we know that. So just opening up the door for discussion.
Maybe I should go first because we already established I have the least amount of experience with this. But there is one really clear way for me. We have, I think you mentioned it a few minutes ago, we have level one people with autism. And we know that because they have told us that on social media and in direct messages or whatever. Very seldom have I seen someone say they're level two. A couple parents have responded and said they have a child with level two.
Yeah.
But typically individuals are responding, I'm autistic or I'm level one or whatever. And then they write something to us, a question or like a drawing or informing us about something. They're on social media and they're interacting they can communicate how they feel and what they like and don't like, and Trent does not, Trent does not understand a phone. He cannot use the phone. He does not understand it. He doesn't understand you can press numbers and call somebody and you're actually talking to that person, even though they're not in the room. We've tried FaceTime with him to get him to understand. When you're talking on the phone, you are speaking to another person. He does not understand that that's a live person on the other side of that screen. Mm-hmm. It's completely different. So just anecdotally from that, like if you are able to get on social media, you understand what a phone is, you're able to use it, you're able to communicate, you're able to send direct messages and know how that functions. Mm-hmm. That's a big difference because Trent simply does not understand anything about that.
Well, and I think it's great that they can communicate like that. However, to be honest, the thing that is disturbing to me is when those same people say, I know what Trent's feeling because I have autism.
Oh, yeah.
I know that we're just the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, not acknowledging this huge difference that's right there. Mm-hmm.
But I would say, let me throw in, we constantly have individuals who are not on the spectrum at all. Neurotypical people commenting and associating a feeling with Trent that is what they might feel in that situation, but we know him well enough to know it's not what he's feeling.
Yeah.
So something happened the other day and Trent, I think you were talking to him in the living room or doing something. And I said, oh my goodness, if people saw that interaction, they would go, oh, Trent loves that so much. He was not really interested, but it was just kind of the way it looks from the camera. So we constantly have people trying to associate that if I were in Trent's shoes and I saw that, or I was in that, this is how I would feel. And so Trent must be feeling the same thing. Trent's not feeling the
same
thing.
Yeah. And they don't say it like that. They just say, he's feeling this way. Yeah.
Oh, he loves her so much, or he's so excited about that thing. That
he's just trying to figure out when his in is to grab the nose.
Yeah.
Like, okay, now is this a good time to grab the nose?
Yeah. Yep.
I think the most important difference between, say, level one and level three, because those are the extremes, is what they struggle with. You know, Trent's struggle is totally different than a level one struggle. Trent's struggle is, how can I let them know my stomach hurts? Mm-hmm. How can I, and he can't, you know, and that causes frustration. And then he doesn't know what to do with that. Yeah. And, you know, a level one's biggest difficulty is likely social, and that they are craving a relationship, even just friendship, that they find difficult to have, much less, we were talking about love on the spectrum earlier, much less a love relationship. But so I think that probably people who are level one and two probably struggle a lot more with emotional stress and heartache and that stuff that just rips a parent's heart out. So being that we had to deal with the aggression because of the lack of communication, that was such a huge deal for Trent. You know, that was hard for us, but not as heart-wrenching probably as it could be for a high-functioning level one person whose parents are so sad because they don't have any friends.
Yeah.
You know.
And we get that a lot. We get those comments a lot on social media. Parents reaching out because they're saying, I did a video, I think this last summer. Trent was in the pool by himself, and then our next door neighbors have a pool, and one of their kids had a bunch of friends over. So there are like three or four kids playing in the pool. We could hear, I mean, they're not nice pools. They're just
above ground
pools. Above ground.
Yeah, above ground pools. Here's Trent by himself, and then 40 feet away, we can hear them as a group of kids playing together and laughing and going on. That's something we've never experienced with Trent. Trent does not have friends. He does not have social interaction. And I shared that video trying to encourage parents that, you know, like, we know this is a struggle, but it's okay. Trent doesn't feel the way we think. based on his behaviors and his actions and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think Trent feels the way, Trent feels bad when he's alone. I guess maybe that's the way to say it. He does not seem to crave interaction, social interaction, like the kids next door.
And you know, if he was in a pool of his peers who were being rowdy and playing and having fun, he would want out of that pool.
He would not like that at all.
Yeah. Not that he doesn't want to be around people. Now, when you guys were teenagers and you were all in the pool together, he would be in the pool with you for a little while, as long as someone is carrying him on their back or he's interacting with
or we're like making the whirlpool. We did that a lot.
As long as you were doing things that he wanted you to do, he was fine.
Right. But it seemed like he was always the first one out and the rest of you would stay and play.
Yeah. I still remember the first time he just got under me in the pool.
Oh yeah.
And lifted me on his shoulders. At first I was like, what is going on? Because that's really weird. And like, if Trent's under the pool, like under the water, I don't know what you're going to do to me. Uh-huh. And went under. And then I realized what he was trying to do. Cause I could like feel him trying to lift me up, you know? Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like he probably could do that. And then I had to like help him.
And then he did
get in the right position. And then he just stood up.
Yeah.
And he just walked around a little bit and they threw me off.
Yep. Yep. To be fair, he's a great big boy and we're a little tiny stick girl. So
I like that you said were. Thank you.
Well,
okay.
What? So what's your,
that was funny. Mike.
Yeah. What's your take on that from, because
you
spend a lot of time with,
right.
Like in your school at Hardspring, mm-hmm. the kids in the school are level three. If there was a level four, they'd probably be level four. But in your clubs and in your social interaction stuff, you're dealing with level ones all the time. So you see that spectrum.
Yes, I do see the spectrum. Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of time, if the kids are in the same room, like if kids on different levels are in the same room, a lot of times the kids who understand and can form relationships don't understand the ones who are running around or they don't really want
the ones who aren't talking to them.
Yeah, the ones who aren't talking to them or the ones who aren't paying attention to them or like they go over to try to get them to play a game and they won't respond or whatever. They don't understand why those kids are being like that. And it is a really hard concept to be like, I have autism and you have autism, but you're not the same as me. It's really hard to understand that, I think.
Which makes it confusing as to why the DSM put it all together.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, I predict in the future it will come back. They'll separate things out a little bit better. Because I would say it's not well explained.
Yeah, now. Well, and it can't be, right?
Because I mean, the whole thing is a spectrum.
Right, and so, like, just because I'm level one and you're level one, that doesn't mean
squat. What's the saying we use all the time? If you've met one individual with autism. It's a quote by
Dr. Stephen Shore, Dad.
Oh, sorry.
Would you tell us
about this? Shout out to Dr. Stephen Shore.
Yes.
You've met one individual with autism, you've met one individual. Yeah. And so how do you group people in a way that can't be grouped?
Yeah.
But so I was thinking about you talking about the interaction between the different, and I was thinking about being a kid. My older brother was 7 years older than me. I do not remember ever having a positive interaction with him when I was a kid because he was into totally different things than I was into as his younger brother. And you know, as we got older, we developed a relationship. We were able to talk and had a good relationship before he passed. But when we were younger, we were in completely different worlds. Mm-hmm. And it made me think about that. A high schooler is not into the same things that a little elementary school kid is going to be into. And so it's just completely different. And neither one of them has the ability to really understand the other person and put themselves into the other person's shoes. And so why would it be any different with this?
Yeah. And I think Easton made a good point before we were live that empathy can be really difficult.
Yeah.
To understand.
It's difficult for people who are neurotypical.
Exactly. Yeah. It's difficult in general. And so when you're trying to get someone who struggles socially yeah. or to like identify their feelings mm-hmm. or like speak from what's going on inside, you, of course you're not going to understand that. Like mm-hmm. that's really, really difficult. So yeah, I think that's a big piece. I think too, seeing what parents get excited about, mm. like the different things that parents get excited about mm-hmm. with their kids. Like, I can tell somebody whose kid is like mostly nonverbal that someone was like sitting with them at the table, you know, like a new person mm-hmm. was trying to talk to them, or, you know, a girl noticed that he liked when she gave him cookies. And so she kept giving him cookies. If I tell that to the parent, they'll get excited that somebody yeah. was even just in their vicinity most of mm-hmm. the night, you know? And then I tell another parent of a kid who can form relationships like that and say like, hey, this other kid, I've never seen him talk as much as he did with your kid tonight. They were playing video games all night long. Mm-hmm. They invited other kids to play video games with them. They were like I didn't walk by them a single time and it was quiet. Like mm-hmm. they were talking the entire time. And the mom is like in tears because he's yeah. never had a relationship like that. Yeah. Like those are two very different experiences in the same, both social is what I'm
yeah.
trying to say.
Yeah.
But very different experiences because of the level. Like, and then maybe with Trent, him sitting with us at Christmas mm-hmm. and not going up by himself. That's
a
still
big thing,
social.
Yeah.
yeah and mm-hmm. that's a big thing for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's just hard. You know, every parent wants their kid to be accepted and, but you've got to figure out where that is. Mm-hmm. We always enjoy it when somebody new just comes and says hi to Trent mm-hmm. without like so much of our interaction with other people is social.
Yeah.
So I say hi to you or I say something to you. I expect you to say something back to me. And if you don't say something back to me, I might be offended mm-hmm. like you didn't care about me or whatever. So we really like it when people come in, people come into the house, you know, so Trent now has some employees, and they'll come in the morning and they will say, good morning, Trent. And then they'll walk a little further in and say, good morning to me. Mm-hmm. But be able to do that without expecting him to respond. Engage them yeah. or respond. Now, he often will say, good morning, Aunt mm-hmm. Christy, whatever. But that's a rote thing, right?
Yeah.
Like he's learned that he should yeah. do that. So it's different. So, yeah. But yeah, that level of what your expectation is and...
Well, and for us, it was just a milestone for people to be comfortable enough around him and not scared of him
yeah.
to say something to him, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
It's really hard as a parent to know that people are scared of your child.
Yeah. yeah. And we get the situation where people don't talk to him because they're afraid he might get.
Mm.
Like, if I say something, I might say the wrong thing to him and then set him off. But, you know, there's a thing where you just have to, you have to engage him.
Mm-hmm.
And can we just be honest with, like, does TJ doesn't listen to the podcast, right?
Can we talk about TJ?
Can we just talk about TJ honestly a little bit? Our youngest son, TJ, has the hardest time engaging Trent.
He's gotten mm-hmm. better.
He has gotten better mm-hmm. because we've told him
mm-hmm.
he needs to get better. Like, this is your brother. But TJ is a very black and white person. And
he's got his own social
struggles. And he has his own social struggles. But like TJ for the longest time wouldn't say anything to Trent, mm-hmm. wouldn't engage Trent in conversation or anything because mm-hmm. he knows Trent can't respond to me.
And he doesn't care.
So what's the point of talking yeah. to him when you're not going to get any feedback. And so we had to be like, TJ, he's your brother.
He's a person.
Right? You have to interact with him, even if you don't think he understands or he's going to interact with you back. So,
because he may, in his mind, relate people talking to him to people caring about him. I mean, we don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, we don't.
We don't know, but he may. He may think, well, if they don't say hi to me, they don't. They're not somebody
I can go maybe. To. I could go to.
Or yeah.
Go talk to. Like he goes and talks to.
Saying drink, please.
Like stare into your eyes. Yeah. Say, read my soul.
Drink.
Asking permission for stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like
he got mad at the eye doctor the other day. Got frustrated with me because I was trying to help the doctor understand what was going on with him, and and she kind of like didn't like, you know, he did his like shut up thing, and she was like, oh, did I say something, like if I say something offensive, so I'm like, no,
it's
that's
not
it.
It's offensive.
I said Trent really struggles processing language, so when we talk back and forth socially about things, it's too much for him and he gets anxious,
especially if it's about him and he knows
especially
it.
If it's about him. Yeah So had to try and help her understand that a little bit. But, you know, so much of what we do is just, like, recognizing the little cues, the thing that Kate said the other day about behavior is communication. It is, but it's a foreign language, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to understand. Well, so we have to, as his parents, his family have been around him the most, we have to really key in on those things.
Yeah.
And then we associate what he might be feeling with 26 years of knowing him and what things set him up and what things don't. And so why?
Yeah.
So there is some of us, I don't know what the transferring our feelings maybe to him, but it's,
we know him,
Mm-hmm. We've done that enough. We've watched him enough, interacted with him.
Yeah, and I think, too, with that, that was a big part in ABA, when I did ABA. Mm. We were trying to, or in ABA, they try to help the individual get help or access their needs or wants when a person who doesn't understand their language or how they speak is interacting with them. So, say, the kid elopes. Runs down the street, the police find them, they're like, where's your house? What do you need? What's going on? Where are your shoes? they can't answer any of those questions. So
why are you naked in the neighbor's pool?
Yeah. We try to give them a way that a stranger would be able to understand what they need. Because if something bad does happen and the kid is by themselves, or even when they're an adult and they're, you know, not even just by themselves, but if a stranger's trying to talk to them and helping them and trying to get them what they need, they don't know them well enough to know how they speak.
You remember having Gary, what's his name from POAC?
Whiteson.
Whiteson, yeah. Fantastic organization and stuff there. But one of the things he talked about was the number of autistic individuals who are like shot or harmed by police because the police are trained to deal with things in a certain way and they show up to somebody who's autistic and they're giving all of these demands. Like, you imagine what Trent would do in that setting. Trent would absolutely be hurt bad or killed because people would start shouting demands at him and he would not know what to do, and then he would react.
That's why Tristan does these trainings.
Yeah.
I think a really good, just to plug some people real quick, I just started following this girl. She is autistic. I don't remember if she's one or two. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But her on TikTok, her name is Sound of the Forest. And she talks a lot about her experience with autism and And I see a lot of similarities in the things that she does for herself. And I don't see this a lot in people with level one, but it is similar to Trent. Like he knows if a bunch of people come over to house, he doesn't want to be in around with everybody. Sometimes he does, and he comes out mm-hmm. when he's ready for that. But then he goes back into his room. Like I think Thursday mm-hmm. night, we were with the family, had a mm-hmm. lot of people over, and he was just in his room most of the time, and we just let him be in his room mm-hmm. because that's a lot. Mm-hmm. He's probably overstimulated.
Better for everybody.
It's yeah. That makes him feel comfortable.
Yep.
She was saying on New Year's Eve, she knew fireworks were going to start. And she stays up late. And so she had her headphones on. And as soon as she heard it, she went in her little swing, turned the lights off. And she soothed herself, basically. Mm-hmm. I feel like Trent's doing the same thing in his own way. Mm-hmm. There's a trigger. A lot of people come over. I know I can't handle it. I'm going to my room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fireworks go off. I know I can't handle it. I go into my swing.
So that's a similarity between.
Yeah.
Higher level.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and she talks a lot about different things that she does in the therapy she goes to, and she's very open about it. So if you're interested in learning more, I suggest following her. Another person who does a really good job at talking about differences and similarities is Kaylin from Love on the Spectrum. I feel like I talk about her a lot. But she does a very, very good job. She works with autistic kids. And she does a fabulous job of explaining her feelings, other people's feelings. She has a friend who's level two or three. And she said, I have friendships a lot differently than he has friendships. I know I'm his friend because XYZ. And she even has videos of them together playing with fidgets or something because mm-hmm. she utilizes fidgets and he does. And she has a conversation with him, but it's not to her capacity, but it's to his capacity. Yeah. And it's very cool seeing those. So mm-hmm. just throwing that out there.
And what's her name on social media?
I think it's Kaylin, Kaelynn underscore VP. I'm pretty sure that's it.
Oh. Okay. One of the things that I think is difficult is there's an idea within disability where there are a lot of, there's some things that are hidden. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the things that we struggle with where Trent is concerned is that he looks like a 26-year-old man walking, you know, if you just see mm-hmm. him walking somewhere.
Holding hands with his dad.
Unless he's stimming, right. Unless he's holding hands with one of us, you know, not quite as odd, I think, for other people looking when he's holding hands with you or, mm-hmm. you know, walking close to you or whatever. But, you know, in some certain ways, you might look at him and go, it's just normal guy. But thinking about it in terms of in some ways he is older.
Mm-hmm.
In other ways, he's a toddler.
Yeah.
So we talk about it, Andy and I talk about it in terms of we've had a toddler for 26 years. Mm. We can't just leave him at home. We can't just go where we want to do and do what we want to do because we have to make arrangements for him mm-hmm. like we had to do when we had kids at home. You can't just leave your toddler and go. So, you know, there are times when we have to interact. People on social media sometimes get really upset with us mm-hmm. because of the way we talk to Trent. And they're like, how dare you talk to him like he's a child, you know, and it's ridiculous. And we're like, we are talking to him at the level he understands mm-hmm. and can, and we want him to be able to comprehend as much as possible of what we're doing, especially when we're talking to him. Mm-hmm. So we have to talk to him a certain way.
Well, and we have seen his reaction to our conversations with him and the way we talk to him his whole life.
Yeah.
Like we've adjusted for the reaction we get or for mm-hmm. the understanding he shows us. So it's not like we just decided, oh, we're just going to talk to him like a baby. And I don't think we talk to him like a baby. I mean, we talk to him simply.
Simply. Yeah.
Because all those middle words don't mean anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I think that they don't, people respond without thinking. Like they react without giving it thought.
Yeah.
From a 30-second video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We greatly appreciate those people who message us, like direct message us with honest questions about, I don't understand what's going on, or why is it this way or that way? Mm-hmm. And then you get those people who just in a comment on a video are like, what you're doing is ableist or whatever, which I had to look up, and I'm, that's ridiculous. It doesn't fit Trent at all. You know, I mean, again, we're dealing with him at the level that he is able to function and comprehend, and we want him to comprehend as much of what is going on as possible. But we don't feel like we're limiting him by the way we talk to him, or the way we do. Like, we try to push him and help him grow.
Yeah. I think something else too is the way we play with him, or like,
oh yeah, it's very,
yeah,
young.
It's very young. It's
tickle,
like,
fast.
And it's, yeah, tickle fast, or like, I say one of his phrases wrong, and then I repeat it back the right way, and
yeah,
it's like, oh, it's so funny. Doesn't make any sense to me. I don't really know why it's that funny, but he really likes it. So, like,
yeah.
I've been in situations before where I've noticed, like, this group of people likes a certain type of humor that I think is stupid, but I do it because
you do it, 'cause, yeah,
it'll make them laugh. So, yeah, like, I can be stupid funny for a minute. And it's the same way, just like changing, and he's having a good time, so I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think somebody else too, that does a good job of finding similarities between themselves and Trent, and also acknowledging the differences, would be Clayton from Clayton's Designs.
Yeah.
I know he's, made,
Clayton's Designs.
Yeah. Made, posts from Trent, or, you know, sharing Trent stuff, and said, like, I struggle with XYZ. This is how Trent deals with it, or whatever, you know, which I really appreciate. I think it's
and he has his own set of struggles.
I mean, you know,
not being able to read and write, but he's highly intelligent.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
can communicate verbally so well.
Right.
Trent can read and write, but.
Yeah,
but can't verbally.
It's very interesting how there are some the strengths and weaknesses. I mean, it seems like with across the board, probably people with autism, like, their strengths are really strong and their weaknesses are really weak a lot of times.
Yeah,
yeah,
and in different areas.
And I guess the point of all of this is whether you're neurotypical or neurodiverse, empathy is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And recognizing that the way you feel about the world, or the way you see the world, or the way you interact with the world is probably not the way other people see and feel and interact.
Yeah.
And being able, like, it's a good lesson for all of us to be able to just go, I need to let you be you, without putting my spin on what you're doing.
Yeah. It's the same kind of thing I think about in social situations. I've gotten upset about things before because I wear my heart on my sleeve. And people have been like, oh, she's upset about XYZ. When that's, like, not even, that's not the reason, or that's not the core reason.
Wait, are you talking about me?
No, I just mean in general.
Okay.
Probably growing up, yeah. but I just mean in general, like what you're saying, people assign,
yeah,
oh, you must be upset because blah, blah, blah. And then you find that out and you're like, okay, no.
No,
like,
that wasn't it at all.
That wasn't it at all. Mm-hmm. And then you have to explain yourself. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same way when you comment on someone's stuff and say, oh, he doesn't like that you're doing whatever.
Yeah.
How would you feel if somebody was like, oh, that, like, you didn't like what they did, and then spreading it around to everybody when you were like, no, it was fine.
Well, there's another interesting, really interesting thing about living your life on social media. Nobody lives their life on social media.
Yeah.
Social media sees a small, like, Like what we figured out, what do we average? What is the average amount of time that Trent spends on camera a day?
Well, some days it's not any.
Yeah. Some days it's not any.
I mean, maybe 2 minutes.
Maybe if we're doing multiple things or he's doing a drawing video or whatever, or we're taking pictures for product stuff, maybe 10 minutes at max 20 minutes in a day behind a camera with everything going on. What people see
that's
on
rare.
Social
20 that's minutes. 20,
well, I'm thinking about days when we're like, we're taking product pictures, we're doing product videos,
like we've got and
plus
stuff.
He has
okay.
a plus
I wouldn't
he has
say he's
a,
on camera all that time though.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's not necessarily on camera, but he's not behind the camera.
Okay.
So, but what I'm saying is we post a lot of videos. People see a lot of videos, but it's a tiny fraction of his day, of our day, of our lives. And yet people feel like they get to know us so well from this tiny little aspect and then make assumptions or make things. And generally 99% of that is very positive, and we're very thankful for that. And people are so encouraging, and
We like those.
It's a great, yeah. And that's why we keep doing, like we often get videos saying, I just want to tell you, please don't stop posting. Please don't stop sharing your journey, both with Trent and with the family. We love that. And we keep doing it in part because of that. But sometimes it's hard to overlook the ridiculous things that people sometimes say or think because they see a 30-second spot on the, you know. I mean, people think we just have Trent chained up in a cage somewhere and we force him to do these drawings and whatever.
When, literally right now, we're downstairs in the basement in a room and he's upstairs by himself.
Yeah, hanging out, doing whatever he wants to do.
Watching Tangled. Yeah. Waiting for lunch.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
In fact, it's 12:55. He's going to come down here pretty quick.
I heard him walking around.
Ready, ready for us to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, we can wrap up. I think.
This has been pretty good, actually. I feel like it's gone a lot better than
we were thinking
it might.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys have anything else you'd like to say before we end?
Not really. I liked what you said about everyone needs to have empathy and not assume people are thinking certain things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
I thought you were going to say, I like that I said that too.
Well, I did. That was really good of me as the only uneducated person in the room. I like that whole idea that like you never know what struggles somebody's carrying or dealing with. And so just treating everybody, you know, like there's stuff going on, and don't assign your feelings to somebody else.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether you might have the same diagnosis or whatever, you know, I had back surgery. I know a lot of people have back surgery, but my experience was so much better than everybody else I know who also had back surgery.
Didn't you have a really bad experience?
Not after surgery.
No, mine's very, not after the 3-day hospital stay that turned into 11 days.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but as far as the back surgery, working.
Then, yeah.
Oh, working. It oh, the payoffs of the
oh,
back
yeah.
surgery.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know
I was like, you did not have a good surgery.
I literally don't know anybody else who is, how many years am I post surgery?
It was 10? 2006. No, more, 17 years?
17 years. And I'm doing phenomenally well. I don't know anybody else who's had one surgery that has been able to not have other surgeries and been able to do the things that I am able to do. So, just anecdotally, but similar situation. Don't assume just because you're the same that you're the same.
Yeah.
Because we're not. We're all different and unique.
Yeah. Very good.
No limits, baby.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. I was going to say something else, but I'm not going to. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Thank you for listening. And we'll catch you next time on the Use It Pens podcast.
This has been a new episode of Used Up Pins. Thank you so much for listening. New episodes drop every other Wednesday. Make sure to check out our Patreon, where we have exclusive merch, exclusive items and Trent drawings, a bunch more content, as well as ad-free episodes, and then also a couple extra podcasts. If you like listening to our podcast, make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube if you're listening on YouTube. And if you're listening on Spotify, make sure to rate and review us, whether that's Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to podcasts. And then lastly, make sure to check out our store for all of Trent's art, and a bunch of other merch that all has Trent's art on it. So thank you so much for supporting the Trent family, the Landreth and Moore family, and see you next time.